No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Tuesday evening / hump day edition of the Yard. I was up ahead of today and thought we'd go ahead and record the show. Man, there's a lot to talk about. And not necessarily sports related, but life related. We're going to talk about some sports stuff. But I wanted to get started today discussing this situation with Ole Miss player Corey Adams, who was shot and killed and appears to just be just kind of a random thing. I only know what's been reported. You know, we haven't dug into any of this, and nor will we. But apparently, he and a group of friends showed up at a pool party outside of Cordova, Tennessee. They had just been on the scene a few minutes, I think, from what I understood from his mom's comments yesterday. Been there about 10 minutes. And apparently, there had been like an earlier incident, and somebody returned to the scene or was leaving the scene, and there were like over 40 shots fired. And it does not appear, according to law enforcement officials, that it was like a shootout. There was no return of gunfire. But it appears these young men were struck and Adams killed. And it's one of those things that really, you know, kind of gathers your emotions a little bit. You know, one of the things, and I'm a firm believer that God makes no mistakes, but these are the things at times that I have a difficult time reconciling with my faith, right? Is, you know, why do young people die? Corey was about to enter into what should have been one of the most important phases of his life, going off to college, having the ability to have your education paid for due to your athletic prowess, get a college degree. I mean, he had, I guess, about 20 offers, mainly from the G5. It wasn't like he was a, you know, 4 or 5 star type guy. So, you know, maybe he becomes an NFL prospect, maybe he doesn't, but at the very least, he was in a position to get his college education, get a degree. And the young man, you know, gets out of New Orleans and gets off to college, was an early enrollee, which shows he was a good student. And now he's gunned down, just trying to go have a good time. You know, practice hadn't started yet. Those guys have been working hard, you know, off-season conditioning drills. And they just say, hey, we're going to go to this party. And I understand from what I've read, like the house was in foreclosure or something like that. So the house was empty and they had a pool party, about 100 party goers. And so it was just a chance to kind of get out and blow off some steam. And now a young man is dead. And it doesn't appear he did anything wrong. He just shows up. It's tough to kind of wrap your mind around that, right? I mean, we've all been in situations where maybe we've been in an altercation and things maybe escalate. And maybe you even hold some blame in that, right? But you walked away. And it appears, again, from reports that they're just showing up. And next thing you know, tragedy strikes that has nothing to do with them. It's difficult to reconcile. And so our thoughts and prayers go out to his family, to the Ole Miss family. And it's funny, people say, well, some things are bigger than the rivalry. Guys, most things are bigger than the rivalry, especially something like this. And we've been there, right? We've been there. And it seems like every year, you know, we're reading about this somewhere around the league or somewhere around our region where just some young person is gunned down in the prime of their life, you know, for nothing. MJ Daniels, just last year, shot and killed just off campus at Southern Miss. A young man that we knew, you know, and as the Ole Miss people did as well. You know, that's it's just one of those things you look at that it just, it's gotten to be an epidemic. You know, back, goodness, how quickly we forget, almost 3 months ago, Alex Foster, a young man that Mississippi State recruited out of Mississippi, out of Greenville, signs on with Baylor, and he's home, and an apparent robbery goes bad, and now he's dead. You know, so many people talk about, you know what, I just want to get him off to school, you know, get him into a safe environment, get him away from these streets, and then you do, and you still lose him. It's crazy, man. It is. You know, I remember, you know, years ago, you know, Paul Broussard, a young man that was signed with Mississippi State, number one junior college defensive lineman in the country, went and did a cattle run with his dad to get some pocket money before he reported football practice at Mississippi State, gets shot and killed outside of a church's chicken in Baker, Louisiana, over a case of mistaken identity. He wasn't even from Baker, Louisiana. He's just sitting outside waiting on his dad. Next thing you know, he's shot and killed. You know, one of the things that I will say, and this may offend some people, and that's okay. In the words of Mike Murr, if I offend you, maybe you needed to be offended. There are a lot of young people today that are too proud to tote a butt whooping. You know, and listen, I hate to be the old, well, back in my day, man, I remember being a kid around the same age as these young people, and you might get in a fight, and more times than not, that ended. I mean, yeah, there was some beefs that lasted for a while, but everybody went home. And so that's the thing nowadays with all of this animosity in the world. You know, it's like, here we go, this young man just going to a party. Just happened to show up at the wrong time because somebody else had so much hatred, bitterness, and ego in their heart that they elected to go pick up a weapon and try to end somebody else's life. And then this poor young man and his family, never going to be the same. Not the cause, right? Not the root cause of anything. Just getting out of a car, maybe grabbing a towel, gonna head out back, cool off a little bit, just relax, maybe have a drink or two. Just enjoy life. Just enjoy being a college student. And now he's dead. For nothing. For nothing. It just boggles the mind, man. It does. And the thing that I thought about earlier today, and Bo Bounds had texted me about this, and we were texting back and forth. And I said, man, can you imagine being his friends? They rode to that party with him. You know, you're all excited. It's like, hey, you know, you might meet a girl. You might just have a good time with your buds. You're just enjoying summertime in the South, man. And can you imagine that ride home? You know, and I don't know who all was injured. There were multiple injuries, none life-threatening other than what we know. And, you know, there's some rumors out there that a couple guys with him were all Ole Miss players that kind of had some minor injuries. But can you imagine? Can you imagine having to go home without your friend? That's a tough pill to swallow, man. You're also excited. You're on your own for the first time. You know what I mean? You know how fun it is, man, when you go off to college, right? You know, I remember for me, man, when I went to Jones first, and I remember watching my mom and stepdad pull away, and I felt like truly free for the first time in my life. You know, you start learning to take care of yourself. You get a sense of independence. You're like, hey, I'm doing this. I'm getting myself up on time. I'm going to class, getting my work done. Nobody's making me do it. And you begin to kind of settle into young adulthood. You're thinking, you know what, I'm on the way. Some of the greatest times of your life. And now that's been ruined. And nobody involved in all this will ever be the same. And so I just wanted to kind of put that out there. Number one, to offer our condolences, but also too that, you know, maybe we got to step back a little bit. We got problems, man. We do. And it's, you know, I see the stuff out there. You know, the comments are all the same, like on Facebook. It's always the same. It's always the whole whataboutism thing. And, you know, we start talking about certain cities and they're this and, you know, political affiliations, all that kind of stuff. Man, let me just tell you something. You think that matters to that kid's mom? And I hope that we can get a measure of justice for them. But even that is just so incredibly insufficient. There's so much more than a moment. There have been times in my life I probably have been angry enough to really hurt somebody. Matter of fact, you talk to enough people in my hometown, they'll tell you as much. And there are times that I've hurt people. Physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever. It's true. I suspect you have too. But the thing that I've learned about that, whether it be a moment of passion where you're caught up in the moment, you're angry, you're emotional, you're not thinking rationally, that moment passes if you let it. Just get in the car and go home. Just get in the car and go home. Live to fight another day. But the last thing is to go just grab a weapon and just start shooting indiscriminately. And just shoot anybody. You know what I mean? I'm eager to know about this case. And I'm eager to know that people are held accountable. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. I am craving some Bulldog Burger Company now. And I hope to satisfy that craving either tonight or tomorrow. Kind of got a hankering for that freshman 15. You know, so you know how it is sometimes, right? You start thinking, like you start getting down that line of thought, thinking, you know what, I think I'm, feels like a Bulldog Burger night, right? And then you start thinking, okay. Once I've engaged that part of my brain, all of a sudden, mentally, I'm perusing the menu. Well, hey, what tastes good right now? What sounds good? What do you have a taste for? By the time we place the order, I will be overcome with irrational exuberance. Because I know I'm going to get a great meal at a great price, and I'll be satisfied with what I've purchased. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Star Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Get the spring rolls as your appetizer. No meal is complete without them. Make you and everybody around you better looking. Trust the science. It's on the menu. And get that chocolate shake. You ride that ride home with a smile. Get the chocolate shake to go. I always order it like around the time, like when I'm just kind of wrapping up before I ask for, hey, before you bring a check, I'd like to get a chocolate shake or a Nutella shake or whatever the shake of the day is. And I'm going to drink that on the way home. And they it's not like they're just stored in a refrigerator. They go ahead and draw those up for you right then. You know, super cool, man. Find your own favorites. If you're a newbie to Bulldog Burger Company, let me encourage you to jump on the Bulldog first, right? Good straight-ahead rock and roll American hamburger. You can't go wrong with the Bulldog. You can get that every time. Jacob Bandit works for me. He gets it every single time. Every time. Doesn't want to branch out. Like, nope, this works for me. I'm sticking with this. So that's where we are. Find your own favorites. You'll be glad you did. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, it's a history lesson time for a lot of you younger people don't know the injustice that was wreaked upon Mississippi State, really because of, in some respects, Ole Miss. Back in the 70s, 1975, Mississippi State got put on probation. It was very much a selective prosecution. Bob Tyler had begun to win some recruiting battles that Ole Miss didn't think he should have. Of course, Bob Tyler, the consummate gentleman, was passed over at Ole Miss, even though he was Johnny Vaught's picked successor. And then the Canards kind of rose to power, and Coach Tyler didn't get the gig, went and worked for a year at Alabama, then came to Mississippi State. And he won a big recruiting battle, Larry Gillard, out of Faulkner High School. Larry recently celebrated his 70th birthday, for those of you that are wondering. Still alive and well. But basically, Larry Gillard, and there were some other allegations too, all of it very, very flimsy. The whole thing was just a kangaroo court session. But at the crux of it, Larry Gillard received a discount that was available to all college students at a clothing store owned by Howard Muskelly. Now, what's interesting to note about that...
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Is that discount was not just available to Mississippi State students. It was a 20% discount available to all college students. You just had to show your college ID. You got 20% off. So Larry Gillard bought 2 shirts and 2 pair of pants. And you got to remember, this is a different time, right? You didn't have a huge wardrobe. Right? You just didn't. A lot of people were lucky to have a couple of sets of knockabout clothes and maybe some Sunday clothes, and that was it. There wasn't a lot of clothes back then. And so Larry Gillard went and bought some school clothes at a discount available to all college students. It didn't matter if you went to Ole Miss, Southern Miss, East Mississippi. It was one of the things that Howard Muskelly did to drive business. And the NCAA considered that to be an impermissible benefit, that a college student athlete should not receive a discount available to all college students, regardless of school of entry, right? So to make a long story short, and it's very complicated, I wrote about this today, I was able to go dig up some things out of the archives and share some correspondence between Mississippi State and NCAA enforcement, and you can really read the absurdity of it all. I made it free. But Dave Murray, I give Dave Murray a lot of credit here. Dave Murray has kind of been on a campaign for some time that Mississippi State should claim those victories because we had to forfeit 15 games. Now, why did we have to forfeit those games? Well, after the Mississippi State administration went through the Committee on Infractions hearing in Kansas City, Missouri, they met at the Alameda Plaza Hotel in Kansas City. The whole thing was rigged from the beginning. But nevertheless, they elected to take the matter to court because initially the NCAA ruled Larry Gillard ineligible for the balance of his college career. He'd only played 1 year at Mississippi State. Freshmen were just beginning to play varsity football. And they ruled him permanently ineligible. Well, Coach Tyler appealed that and wrote a letter asking for leniency. They said, okay, I'll tell you what. He's only got to sit the 75 season. Now, remember, this is a 20% discount on a couple pair of clothes. That's it. That's the crux of the case against Larry Gillard and his eligibility. And they says, well, okay, he's only got to sit out the 75 year. Well, Mississippi State said, that's still not enough. It's not fair. We took it to court. Yeah, we took it to court. And it's so funny, like nowadays, anything the NCAA does ends up in a courtroom. We could talk about that all day. We won't. There was an injunction that allowed Larry Gillard to play the 75 season. It took a while for its way to matriculate through the court system. It eventually made its way to the state Supreme Court, which was very heavy Ole Miss educated, make of that what you will. They ruled against Mississippi State, surprise, surprise, and Larry Gillard. Well, the NCAA had a policy back then because the NCAA, even to this day, is a voluntary organization and you're supposed to agree to play by their rules. They added to the sanctions and forced us to forfeit those 15 games that Larry Gillard ended up playing in that we won. And so now Mississippi State has reversed course. We are now claiming those games as wins. The on-the-field record is now reflected rather than this nonsense. Eventually, in 1978, the House Subcommittee on, I can't remember what it was called. I wrote this earlier, like Weights and Investigation or Measures and Investigations. They had hearings about the NCAA's enforcement practices. And Larry Gillard went and testified before Congress. And, of course, his career was over by then. And you had parties on both sides of, it's so funny, you know, how life has changed. You had a Democrat from California, you had a Republican from New York, and both of them said, hey, this was wrong. An injustice was committed here against Mississippi State and Larry Gillard. And the chairman of the committee went on to say that it was not lost on him that those sanctions were severely influenced after Larry Gillard and Mississippi State went and spoke before Congress. And so it seemed very punitive. And it seemed to be a matter that was vindictive. And it is something that longtime Bulldog fans have held a huge grudge about. And it's interesting, too, in those hearings, and I noted this in the article, a former NCAA investigator says that an investigation into Ole Miss was canceled because a woman was provided to an NCAA staffer. Now, you can make of that what you will. Of course, one of the parties involved in that said it never happened and he never recounted such a story. You know, I'd probably lie about that too. But all of that understood, we are now claiming those wins, which of course gives us, I think, 3 Egg Bowls back and it changes the win-loss total. We still got a lot of work to do, but also we're over 500 as a program. But it's important to kind of understand this is something that should have been corrected 50 years ago. And I'm glad that we're able to get it done in Larry Gillard's lifetime. We lost Coach Bob Tyler, obviously. He did not live to see this day. But I think Mississippi State is making the right move here. There's some more moves we can make about some other stuff, too. I don't know who pulled the trigger on this decision, but kudos to them. And kudos to David Murray for kind of keeping this thing alive. It's been about 18 months, I guess, since this whole thing started, this campaign, and unbeknownst to many of you. And David would never be a person that would go out there and say, hey, look what I did. But Dave Murray is really the architect of this. Dave Murray is the guy that said, hey, this is wrong. We should never have done this. We should never have agreed to this. And, you know, of course, Alabama, of course, is claiming national championships they never won, not to mention some people up the road. But all of that understood. I wanted you guys to kind of know, especially you young bucks, Mississippi State and Bob Tyler were beginning to kind of make some noise in the SEC. And there were some people in the SEC that were upset. We won 9 games in 74. At the time, that was the second most wins in school history. Only the 1940 Allen McKean team that went 10-0 won more to that point. Now, we've done it a few times since then. But it's been pretty much a rarity. But again, you got Rocky Felker at quarterback and Walter Packer and Jimmy Webb and all these guys, you know, making some racket. It's like, wait a minute, Mississippi State's not supposed to be good in football. They're not supposed to be beating our teams. So let's go put together some charges. And guys, I have perused this NCAA file so many times. I mean, it's like allegations of like less than $50. Now, granted, that's a little more money back in those days. But they accused State of paying for gas. Yeah, so a kid could take a visit. And, of course, that's permissible under today's rules, right? You pay mileage. But those were the allegations. Like, hey, well, this coach gave this kid $20. So we're going to put the program on probation for 2 years. We're going to ban you from bowl games for 2 years. We're going to prevent you from being on television for 2 years. That used to be a thing. Used to be a TV blackout was an NCAA sanction. It's a much different dynamic these days. And it's among the flimsiest cases in the history of the NCAA. And again, I think it really, you talk about the old Mississippi State Guard. And while sometimes they appear to be kind of beaten down, it's because when we had success in those days, the powers that be said, well, no, you shouldn't do that. I'm surprised we hadn't had penalties for, you know, too many yards on Mississippi State. That's going to be a loss of down 10-yard penalty. You know, and I hate to sound all poor old State here, but, you know, there's some evidence to support that at times the world has been against us. You know, I go back to all the old bowl bids from years ago when the state legislature, which was Ole Miss educated almost 100%, they would guarantee that Ole Miss's bowl ticket allotment would be sold, even if they had to pay for it. Mississippi State not offered the same courtesy. So when I read and hear a lot of these ignorant comments, and not a lot of it's willful. Sometimes people just don't know. That's one of the reasons I write books and things about Nader. It's important that our side of the story gets out there. And this, you know, article today is about 2,200 words, so it's kind of like a small book chapter. But it's something that I have considered putting in a book many times. And maybe we'll get Larry on the phone one day and kind of get his reaction to all this stuff. But when you begin to think about all of this began at a clothing store and ended up going all the way to the state Supreme Court and ultimately to congressional hearings, it's worthy of our attention. It's worthy of talking about. And again, that's 50 years ago, but it's taken us 50 years to get to this point. But yes, we should absolutely claim those victories. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The entire thing was a conspiracy. Every bit of it. And you can go back and you can read some of the NCAA reports about all of this. And they were so incredibly arrogant. You know, it's like we get the preliminary letter of inquiry that's sent to Charlie Shira, and it's basically they'd already made up their mind. And then President Giles gets a letter to say, hey, now that we've gone 6-7 weeks here with our preliminary interviews, we're ready to move forward with the formal inquiry. So I wanted to share that with you. You can go read David's story if you're a VIP member. I made the Gillard story for free because I wanted to kind of do a companion piece just to kind of give you guys some context. A lot of people will read Dave's story and be like, okay, what's the big deal? Well, I think now you know. And it's so interesting to see the Bulldogs of old kind of comment on this. It's like, yeah, Steve, absolutely. Yeah, I remember when all this stuff happened. And one guy even commented on Facebook and said, man, we got a better discount than that with our fraternity. I don't know what fraternity Howard Muskelly was part of, but it's so important to understand our history and kind of where we got to where we are. And one of the things that I think a lot of our younger fans don't know or appreciate is for decades, Mississippi State was treated like a second-class citizen in this state by our state government. We were treated as a second-class citizen in our own conference, and some people were able to weaponize the NCAA, and who knows what type of incentives and inducements they used to do that, to do their bidding to derail the Mississippi State football program. It was hard enough with us having to sell home games to make money to keep the athletic department afloat. But then all of a sudden we have some success, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, they won too many games. We need to conduct an investigation. And you think that all of that is just message board fodder. It's not. And the Larry Gillard case is probably the greatest example. And even the congressional leaders at the time talked about what a slippery slope this was, that the NCAA is like, hey, you can't go outside of our organization to seek remedy of what you think is unfair. And, of course, the state Supreme Court said, well, Mississippi State didn't file a formal appeal with the NCAA, so they did not exhaust all of their remedies under the framework of the NCAA. So we're going to overturn the lower court's ruling. Of course, I'm sure it had nothing to do with the outcome of the Egg Bowl. Nothing, right? I'm sure it didn't. Yeah. I'm sure it was all just, done to the letter of the law. But, it's a big deal to me. Maybe it's not a big deal to you, but it's a big deal to me. And I think for people that have kind of lived through this and lived with the knowledge of how Mississippi State was railroaded by the NCAA, kind of at the behest of Ole Miss, it's something that has kind of stuck as a burr under the Bulldog saddle. And so I'm glad to see that we're claiming this. Next thing we can go now is go claim the national championship for 41, or 40, right, or both. Everybody else seems to do it. I'm sure we can find some obscure newspaper back then that wrote an editorial piece out there that, it's not the Dunkel Index, right, or the Lichtenhaus analytics or whatever, you know. It's not that. It's not Golf Digest. But all that understood, I just wanted to kind of explain that kind of in some terms that you guys would understand. It's an important thing, and I know it doesn't change a lot about where we are today, but it is something that we should have done a long time ago. And again, I commend Coach Tyler and Charlie Shira and President Giles for fighting the injustice and standing up for Larry Gillard. And Bob Tower's letter to the NCAA, I thought, was very heartfelt. And I think that's an important part of this thing, too, is that, you know, Coach Tyler, his legacy, number one, as the consummate gentleman, but he fought for what he believed in. He was unfairly passed over at Ole Miss to our benefit. And then all of a sudden he gets here and he begins to win. And then all of a sudden, you know, the bourgeoisie of Mississippi are like, well, wait a minute, this isn't supposed to be. You know, well, you had your chance to hire him. You know, you elected not to. Billy and Bruiser, right? Probably rolling over in their graves today, knowing that we're claiming these victories again. So, again, commend David Murray. Commend our fine folks that were in the administration of Mississippi State. Those guys are all dead and gone now. But this is a battle that has gone on basically since the founding of the university back in 1878. So with that in mind, our player of the day is Larry Gillard, brought to you by closewithblair.com. You can get a hold of Blair at 601-500-2344. Again, that's 601-500-2344. Get Blair's 24 years of expertise working for you. Maybe the dream of home ownership has eluded you, and maybe it's because you had the wrong loan originator. Blair knows how to use the underwriting guidelines to give you the best chance to get approved. He'll be your advocate with underwriting, and you know what? Maybe you're not ready today, but he can put you on a path to get you ready to buy a home. A lot of people out there vying for your business. I like keeping business in the family, and you should too. So understand that Blair rides a wave of emotions of Mississippi State fandom just like you do. And the money you spend with Blair, some of it's going to go right back into Mississippi State because he's a season ticket holder in multiple sports. He's a donor. He loves the Bulldogs just like you and I do. He doesn't discriminate, though. So if you're a fan of another school, listen to this show. Blair can get you to the closing table, too. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, perhaps that game day condo, Blair Chandler, the only name to know, visit his website, closewithblair.com. All right, time for today's top 10 list is always brought to you by Calido Guitars at CALIDOGuitars.com. That should be your guitar shop. It's owned by Mississippi State folks, owned and operated by Mississippi State folks. I've had lunch with the owner. I can tell you these people are true maroon. So whether you're a beginning guitar player or a professional guitar player or anything in between, maybe you just like to play for fun, keep the business in the family. Whether you're looking for a new guitar, which you can get electric, acoustic, classical guitars, beginner guitars, professional grade guitars, and everything in between directly from them at a discount. If you need a guitar case, a gig bag, accessories, a guitar stand, anything you need guitar related, think of Calido Guitars. Be sure and visit their website. You'll be glad you did. But I got a promo code for you. You can use it in person. You can use it over the phone, or you can use it online. It's BSR. You know it well. That gets you a 10% discount off your purchase. It also gets you free shipping. And if you don't live in the state of Texas, it gets you no sales tax. So already you're ahead of the game, right? You're saving almost 20% on the purchase when you begin to add those savings together. In addition to that, they're going to make a 5% donation of your purchase price to the Bulldog Excellence Fund, helping Mississippi State put more competitive teams on the fields and courts of play. True Bulldogs at Calido Guitars. Be sure and check them out today. Again, CALIDOGuitars.com. Okay, been an emotional day, like it has been for many of you. Many of you have reached out too. Very thoughtful of you. But it is a collective loss that I think everybody in my generation feels and beyond. And so this is a shared loss, right? I never met Ozzy Osbourne. He was probably on the top three people that I want to meet. I'll never get that chance. Obviously had a chance to see him perform before. It's a different dynamic, as you guys know. But there are a few things that I want to kind of frame up for you here. And some of this will sound very gatekeeper-ish in the beginning. Okay? But we're going to have a good ending. One of the reasons that Ozzy is so important to all of us, not just because he is the godfather of heavy metal, even though he didn't like the title, he didn't want to be just branded as heavy metal. He wanted to be more of a hard rock artist, known as the Prince of Darkness. But if you watch the Osbournes, you know, at his heart, he's just a teddy bear. You know, he gets known for, you know, biting the head of a bat off that he thought was a rubber bat, and then bit the head of a dove off, and some people were freaking out. Of course, you know, back in those days, we didn't have a lot of sources for media, so there was a campaign. And one of the things about Ozzy, too, that we liked is Ozzy scared us a little bit, too. Tommy Iommi even said when they decided to name the band Black Sabbath, they said, hey, if people will pay to be scared at the movies, they'll pay to be scared at a rock concert. And there was certainly an evil type feeling in some of the riff work of Black Sabbath. But one of the things about Ozzy that I think kind of transcends music, and I think this is important, is that Ozzy was his authentic self. And he encouraged us to be our authentic selves. He was a very serious musician. There was no unskinny bop in his catalog. That's an important thing to understand, right? I don't think you can just frame him up in the box of hair metal, right? He had some of the most gifted guitar players and musicians the world has ever seen in the rock genre. And who wouldn't want to play with the great Ozzy Osbourne? One of the things I can tell you from the former mullet-wearing, blue-jean-jacketed army is a lieutenant in that group that hung out in a smoking section that didn't really care. We loved the fact that Ozzy was like our earthly king. We loved the fact that Ozzy was doing so many things that maybe other people didn't like. And it provided an example for us to even explore our own personalities. We're like, hey, I kind of feel like this guy. You know, not that we wanted to speak of the devil, right? And if you go back and listen to a lot of Ozzy's music, a lot of people kind of unfairly maligned him with that sort of stuff. And of course, obviously there was an element of the occult and the Black Sabbath stuff. And a lot of that was just to kind of cause a racket and make people think Ozzy was a person too that's very spiritual. And if you've watched interviews with him in the last several years, there was a lot of discussion about God and things of that nature. And he wore the big cross around his neck. And it wasn't just for show. And one of the things that I think is very important is if you've ever seen Ozzy perform in person or on video, anything like that, Ozzy had this way of connecting with people. And he always used to say, I love you all. For a generation of people that didn't hear that a lot. There were how many people, think about that, how many people, you know, we grew up in the day of the stoic dad, you know, and how many people went to an Ozzy Osbourne show and had a blast, and all throughout the show, Ozzy's telling you he loves you. I think that's the legacy. As we talked about it, how emotional it was to watch him sing Mama, I'm Coming Home for the final time. And we said then, I said on the show, and I think you all felt it too. It's not, I'm breaking any news here. We all knew that was the goodbye. While we couldn't bring ourselves to admit it, in our hearts, we knew it. And there's all these rumors about his passing. Now listen, I don't care about any of that stuff. I'm just grateful that I was alive during the Ozzy Osbourne era. So we're going to take a few shows and we're going to celebrate the music of Ozzy Osbourne. I had some other things planned. We got some requests, but I have been overrun today with people saying, Steve, we need another Ozzy Top 10. Well, we're going to do a few of them, okay? Roy Sumonti was the first person to tell me that Ozzy had passed. I'm able to go get on X and see everything else. One of the things that I don't like, and maybe it's just a personal problem that I'll have to kind of learn to deal with, I don't like all these people grifting for engagement. I don't like people that have spent their careers talking poorly of the hair metal decade of which Ozzy Osbourne was the king, even though he wasn't a hair metal guy. You know, of course, he wore makeup and had longer hair and all that kind of stuff and lived life to the fullest. But there are a lot of people that have really talked poorly of the genre. But now we want to jump aboard this whole train, dare I say a crazy train, of social media engagement because that's the topic of the moment. Hey, so let me go jump out here and do my video. Let me jump out here and we'll put the band together and we'll go cover Crazy Train and Bark at the Moon. And I don't like it. I don't like it. Because you spend all this time, decades, talking poorly of the genre of rock music that Ozzy Osbourne created. And now I'm supposed to accept your well wishes and condolences? You kidding me? Ozzy would feel differently, I'm sure. And maybe there's a lesson learned there. But the thing that I'm struck with is how many people went to that last show, dads bringing their kids, adults bringing their grandparents, three generations of fans singing along and crying their eyes out, knowing that a piece of our youth is leaving us. Very significant. It's a heavy show today, man. It's hard for me to do, to be honest with you. But, you know, I can tell you as a guy that grew up in the 70s and 80s, graduated in 1990, I can tell you, listen, we had a blast in the 80s. We had the best music, the best fashion, the best movies. That's one of the reasons that you guys still go back and watch The Breakfast Club. That's why you go out and get a Slayer t-shirt. And there's a part of me that kind of rejects that too. And again, it's something I'll have to deal with. Because I can tell you, like, when I was in high school, and again, this is very gatekeeperish, right? I know. But whenever a band kind of crossed over to the preps, they kind of lost their luster with us. You know what I mean? We wanted some things that were kind of uniquely our own. And that's one of the things I love about Ozzy is he never sold out. He's true to himself. A lot of bands out there try to change with the times. And it's so interesting too, you know, again, back to my whole gatekeeper mentality about this. I see MTV, you know, tweeting out their tweet. And I wanted to respond. I didn't. It's like, man, you guys colluded with record companies to end the 80s heavy metal push. And now you want to get out here with this? You were instrumental in every aspect of that, of the negative variety. Because record companies knew they could go out and sign bands like Nirvana much cheaper. They didn't have these $2 million budgets to record music videos on MTV. They didn't have multi-million dollar stage sets. They just go plug in and play. And some of you liked that. I liked a lot of it too. But don't think it wasn't a corporate rock decision. You kidding me? Every bit of it was. This whole Seattle thing was not organic. That's what I don't think people understand. If you don't believe me, go read the book, I Want My MTV. They basically confess to so much of that stuff. But at the end of the day, no matter how passionately I feel, Ozzy didn't just belong to us. He belonged to everybody. He did. And I think a lot of it was the reality TV stuff. I think you got to see a different part of him and people began to realize, hey, Ozzy Osbourne's just kind of like my uncle, you know? And so at the end of the day, I know what's going to happen. Amazon will sell out of Ozzy Osbourne merch. That's a good thing. We wake up tomorrow, you know, Bark at the Moon may be the number one song, or My Mom Coming Home will be number one. Ozzy will dominate the top 10 in the days ahead on Apple Music and Spotify and things. But that's a great thing. It's a great thing. And so, Ozzy was one of those artists that just simply couldn't be put in a box. You know, I go back to the early Metallica days. Everybody loved the fact they didn't do videos. Oh, they're not corporate sellouts. And then, you know, then they did do videos, you know. But I have been so moved today to see all the moving tributes from artists and them posting pictures. And, you know, of course, Motley. You know, Ozzy took Motley out on their first major tour. It was incredible. And I think it's one of those things, if you're one of those people that feels like me, right, I think we welcome the interlopers. Because that will only add to the legacy of Ozzy Osbourne. There will be people, young people of today, that will learn of the true majesty of our earthly king, Ozzy Osbourne, because of what's happened. People will go back and watch those old Osbourne episodes. And I think that's a great thing. So we're going to start in the beginning, obviously. We're going to Black Sabbath today, and we've done a Black Sabbath list before. I'm sure it's a little bit different. But I wanted to give you a bonus track today that is not in the top 10, and I want to read you some lyrics from this. This is written in 1975. How ironic, the same year that the Larry Gillard thing happened. But Ozzy Osbourne wrote this in 1975. It's off the Sabotage album. It's a track called The Writ. It's a deeper cut. And I'm going to read you a few lyrics here. Ozzy says, again, 50 years ago, "What kind of people do you think we are? Another joker who's a rock and roll star for you, just for you? The faithful image of another man, the endless ocean of emotion I swam for you, yeah, for you. The shot troopers lying down on the floor, I wish they'd put an end to my running war with you, yeah, with you. Are you metal? Are you man? You've changed in life since you began, yeah, began. Ladies digging gold from you, will they still dig now you're through? Yeah, you're through." That's The Writ, your bonus track for today. All right, I'm going to run through these quickly because we got a lot to cover. Number 10, it's the title track from the debut album. It's Black Sabbath. And what a great introduction to this band. I mean, you go back and listen to it and you hear the bell and everything else. It's just so eerie, right? First track. First album, right out of the gate, they're letting you know this is exactly who we are. We're Black Sabbath. Number 9, one of the lighter songs in the catalog, and of course it's been re-recorded, and I thought Youngblood did an amazing job at the Back to the Beginning concert. But it's Changes, and it's a broken-hearted song, you know, about losing your woman, losing my best friend. That's off Volume 4. You know, Led Zeppelin had what they called the Ruins album, or Led Zeppelin 4. Ozzy had Volume 4 with Black Sabbath. Masters of Reality gave us Sweet Leaf, your number 8 track. Number 7, this is one that I don't know that maybe a lot of people know as well. I dig it, and I think you will too. And again, it's a little bit deeper, I guess. A little bit, maybe. But it's You Won't Change Me. You Won't Change Me, number 7. Number 6, the title track off the very controversial album Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. The original cover was banned in the United States. But again, it's another one of those songs right out of the gate. It's like, hey, we're doing things a little bit different. Number 5, really back to the beginning, it's The Wizard. And there is a episode on Ozzy and Jack's road trip where they're in the Mississippi Delta, and he goes into a music shop up there, and the guy, the proprietor there, asks Ozzy if they can play the harmonica and play The Wizard together, and they did. And it's an incredible song. Number 4, title track off the final album of Black Sabbath with Ozzy as the singer. And it was a very disjointed work. Drugs and alcohol were a big problem. Ozzy's dad had died, and they had taken about a three-month hiatus during recording the album. There was a lot to this, but it's a track. It's a title track, Never Say Die. Now, our final three tracks are going to be from the incredible, legendary Paranoid album. Number 3, the original title was Iron Bloke. Very British. Rumor has it that when Ozzy laid down the riff, that Ozzy said, "Man, that hits like an iron bloke with a hammer," or something, words to that effect. And so it became Iron Man. It's incredible to think what that song has become. Number 2, I shared a tweet earlier that Tom Morello had shared back during the COVID lockdown of some people in Italy singing from their balconies, everybody singing War Pigs. That wasn't the original title. And it's so interesting that it's entitled War Pigs, and a lot of people don't understand that it's an anti-war song. And it's something that I've sung at karaoke many times. But number one, I think the greatest Black Sabbath song of all time, of course, the title track, Paranoid. And it's interesting, reading the interviews with Bill Ward, they had run out of material. And they needed one more song for the album. And all of a sudden, Almy just starts laying down the riff, and next thing you know, Paranoid is born. He said the whole thing took about 25 minutes from the moment he strummed the guitar until they had it all figured out, including the lyrics. They had to rush and get it recorded. And some of those early albums, guys, they recorded in a day. Think about that for a second. When you think about all the auto-tune and all the remastering and all the click tracks and all the tapes and overdubs and things like that, the first few Black Sabbath albums, because they were broke, they recorded them in a day. I read that the entire Paranoid album took 12 hours. That's it. They went in, got a few cuts, laid it down live, went back and overdubbed a few guitars and some vocal stuff. That's it. Either you have it or you don't, right? There's so many studio gangsters these days, you know, that really don't have it. They're just kind of properly packaged by some record company out there and everything's become so digitized. I had this conversation with my agent a few days ago. Those guys from the 70s could really play and really sing. And I think that's one of the reasons this music has endured for generations. So that's our first, and I don't know how many episodes that we'll do, Top 10 Ozzy stuff, probably till I feel better. But we'll break it down. We'll get into the solo stuff, and we'll break that down. We'll do the Randy years. We'll do the Jake years. We'll do some Zach years. We'll do the latter years. You know, we'll do a lot of that stuff. We'll send Ozzy out right. You know, I got a handful of Ozzy t-shirts. I got an Ozzy tattoo. And probably about to have another one. How about that? All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Book Mart, a Starkvillian institution. Campus Book Mart has always been there when we've needed them, and we've needed them often because we always need new Mississippi State merch. Whether it's apparel, gift ideas, everything you need to detail out your fan cave, you can find it at Campus Book Mart. Miss Kathy Brown does an amazing job outfitting that operation with all the latest and greatest in Mississippi State merch. Next time you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. If you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is just too exciting for you, it's not a good shopping day, visit them online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR. That stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. And it gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. In addition to that, you need to make it your game day shop. When you do feel like shopping, you may get a complimentary hug. I always do, but maybe that's just me. Maybe. I don't know. Try it and see. You know, maybe you will. Maybe you won't. But I know this. When I go in there, I wish I had more funds to spend because I would buy a little bit of everything because I can't get enough Mississippi State merch in my home. Rep the brand wherever you go. And when people come to your home, let them know. Bulldogs live here. Campus Book Mart, your one-stop shop for Mississippi State merch. Okay, next opponent preview. It's Ole Miss. And, you know, we won't have an opponent preview on Friday, obviously. And that show will be recorded Thursday night because I got to run the spa this weekend as the bride goes to see the grandkids, meet the grandbaby boy. We love getting that free content every day. But looking back at Ole Miss, it was a good year last year and didn't end the way they wanted it to. You know, a lot of people thought they were a shoe-in to make the playoff. They had a couple dubious losses to some teams that just weren't great that ended that. But, yeah, it was part of the deal. And, again, there was a feeling last year that if Ole Miss didn't do it last year, they may never do it. I don't know if I'll go that far, but it was a very talented team. They started out, you know, with some cakewalks to start the season. And offensively, they were elite. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They beat Furman 76-0. They get Middle Tennessee 52-3. They travel to Winston-Salem and take on a struggling Wake Forest team and get them 40-6. And then they blast Georgia Southern 52-13. And so a lot of people are like, hey, well, they get the easy part of their schedule right out of the gate. You know, how good could they be? Well, you know, defensively, they were a lot better last year. And I think Nick Saban's the one that said it. What made that Ole Miss team different is they had the bodies up front. And in years past, they've had more skill position players and not necessarily beef up front. They had it on both sides of the line last year. But they had that game at home against Kentucky. We were in Austin, Texas, when that thing went down. We discussed that during the Kentucky preview. But 20-17 game. And, of course, Ole Miss loses that on a last-second field goal attempt. It was a pretty wild game. And if it was in Lexington, you would say, well, that kind of makes sense, you know, it's a weird game. But after one quarter, it was 7-3 in favor of the Rebels. But at the break, it's 10-7 Kentucky. And then everybody in the nation tuned in. They're like, hey, look at this. Well, it ended up being a very interesting second half. Really no question about it. And not as much offense. 20 points scored combined in the second half. But Ole Miss ties it. Kentucky gets a 48-yard field goal from Alex Rainer to make it a 13-10 game. And then Ole Miss, struggling a little bit. And one of the last plays of the third quarter, Jackson Dart connects with Trey Harris for a 48-yard touchdown. Harris, with a big day in the loss, 176 yards receiving. And then Kentucky drives down late, six plays, 83 yards, takes them 2 minutes and 23 seconds, and they score. And everybody in the country rooting against Ole Miss all had the same thought. They just simply scored too soon. Jackson Dart takes him down. They can't get in the end zone. They attempt a field goal, and it's yanked wide left. It wasn't even close. And then everybody's like, well, that's it. They go to South Carolina, and again, that's kind of a weird game too. And give South Carolina a little credit, you know, for making it interesting. But, you know, Ole Miss comes out right out of the gate on their first possession, goes down and scores, and then they score again to kind of cap the first quarter. It's 14-0. South Carolina gets on the board, and then it's just from there, it was just not a very entertaining game. And Ole Miss wins that game 27-3. And listen, I don't care who you are or where you're from. South Carolina at the time was 3-1 coming into that game, playing at home. It was a day game, so the atmosphere maybe not quite as raucous. But give that Ole Miss defense a lot of credit. South Carolina with a running quarterback had a chance to improvise at times, just couldn't get it done. Marquee matchup. It's a rivalry game for Ole Miss, not so much for LSU, despite what other people will tell you. Ole Miss comes into the game 4-1. Excuse me. Comes into the game 5-1. LSU 4-1. This was a wild one. I remember listening to this game on the road back. Scoreless after one. And then a wild second quarter that showed 30 points being scored. Ole Miss jumps out to a 10-0 lead. LSU responds. And then the Rebels answer. And it's 17-7. And just before the half, kind of some crazy things happen. They get a field goal. LSU gets a turnover. Can't cash it in. Get another field goal. Make it 17-13. But they had opportunities to take an early lead. You thought, okay, it's a four-point game at the break. Anything can happen in the second half. And it did. Ole Miss pushes it back out to a touchdown lead, 20-13. LSU tacks on a field goal. And that's the thing. LSU just kept finding a way to get, you know, some way to match. And then ultimately, Ole Miss pushes it back out in the fourth quarter to a seven-point lead. Big, big, big defensive stop there for LSU. Had the big sack of Jackson Dart to kind of push him back. And it was a 54-yard field goal. Made it a seven-point game. And then LSU drives down. Garrett Nussmeier hits Aaron Anderson on a 23-yard touchdown pass in the final minute to tie the game. And then the LSU defense kind of stands up, pushes Ole Miss to what you think is out of field goal range. Caden Davis connects on a 57-yard field goal. And it was probably good from like 65. He absolutely drilled it. And what do you know? Takes one play. Garrett Nussmeier lays it up to Kyron Lacy. God rest his soul. We didn't mention him earlier. And they walk off the Rebels 29-26. And Garrett Nussmeier, of course, that big fourth down conversion on that final drive of the fourth quarter. Kind of a heroic effort there. But again, now all of a sudden, Ole Miss has got two SEC losses. They bounce back the next week against Oklahoma to win 26-14. And again, then you kind of started worrying a little bit about the offense, right? Because kind of a boring game against Kentucky. You score 27 at South Carolina, but it was just okay. The offensive line got exposed a little bit against LSU. You've put up 26 against Oklahoma, so people are like, well, maybe this offense isn't quite as good as we thought. Well, of course, against SEC competition, you're not going to put up 72. Well, Ole Miss goes to Arkansas, a place that they've had some trouble over the years, and they put up 63. 63-31 is your final, and this one was really never in question. When you get out of the first quarter, Ole Miss explodes for 28 points there in the second quarter. It's 35-10 at the break. But Ole Miss scores 49 points in the middle quarters. And, again, really not much to worry about. Then you get the Georgia game. And a lot of people already assumed Georgia would just roll through Ole Miss. They didn't. I thought the Ole Miss defense had one of their better games of the year. And, again, Georgia trending towards the playoffs. Ole Miss trying to stay in it. And with the win, they kind of erase that loss against Kentucky, as bad as that was, because you picked up the big win against Georgia. And this was the game, too, that Jackson Dart got knocked out early. And you're thinking, well, that's it. Game's over. No. That's not what happened at all. You know, the backup quarterback, Austin Simmons, comes in and, drives down the field and puts points on the board. And then all of a sudden, the Ole Miss people kind of began to believe a little bit. You know, Austin Simmons goes 5 of 6 in that ball game, and then Jackson Dart comes back. But it's hard to argue against the kid kind of coming in there under difficult circumstances, not expecting to play, but showed that he was game ready and takes him down there and scores. Ties the game. It was Ulysses Bentley, who didn't get enough playing time down the stretch, as so many Ole Miss fans will tell you. But Ole Miss gets a couple field goals, three field goals to push it out to a 16-7 lead. And then, Georgia kind of starts winding back in, but that Ole Miss defense just would not relent. Georgia cuts to a 16-10 lead, and then from there it was all Ole Miss. They win at 28-10. The margin of victory, probably a little more impressive, not just the win, but when you consider how well that defense played and the fact that the offense did just enough to kind of keep tacking on and getting separation to make that Georgia offense a little more predictable. That was big. So just when you think they're back in the mix, they go to Gainesville, Florida, and Florida had kind of figured some things out. Limited Ole Miss to just 17 yards in that ball game, but it was kind of a crazy thing, too, of course, how that game ended. It's 14-all at the break, 17-all after three. On the road, fourth quarter game. You just need to go put some things together. And Ole Miss just simply couldn't get it done in the fourth quarter. Midway through, Florida takes a 24-17 lead and then makes it stand up. Of course, a couple of late picks for Jackson Dart. A couple of them pretty dubious, right? But you lose, you think, well, that's it. And then their playoff chances are on life support. We go in there and make a game of this thing, and I think many people would argue that Mississippi State should have won this game, but give the Ole Miss run defense a lot of credit. But you look up after one, like Ole Miss goes down the first drive, they score. We hold them to a field goal, and we really felt like that was a win. Next thing you know, Michael Van Buren connects with Kevin Coleman, who gets loose for a touchdown. Ole Miss comes back, runs a little gimmick thing with J.J. Pegues that everybody thought was so cute, makes it a 10-7 game, and then Van Buren answers. Goes right down and scores right before the end of the first quarter to make it a 14-10 game in favor of Mississippi State. Ole Miss running game's not really getting anything done. And then lo and behold, Ulysses Bentley breaks loose 89 yards for the score to give Ole Miss a 17-14 lead. And you got to think, man, right there, if you just make a play, maybe we're having a different conversation today. Ole Miss tacks on a field goal to make it a 20-14 game. And then late, State playing some pretty good defense. Caden Prescorn scores to cap senior day scoring as they win 26-14. But you know, when you go back and look at this game, obviously what matters most is points on the scoreboard. But you go back and look here, you know, State outpassed them 291 to 143. Now, of course, Ole Miss outrushed us 254 to 39. A lot of that 89-yard run. But they did find some success against a State defense that kind of struggled. But State puts up, you know, Ole Miss outgained State by 67 yards. That's it. That's the difference in the ball game. But they made it count when it mattered most. That's the reality of it. You know, they made winning plays. We didn't. Third downs were a big part of it, too. We just couldn't sustain drives. 4 of 15, meanwhile, Ole Miss was 8 of 18. We did go for it on fourth down four times and made it three. But, again, some opportunities from Michael Van Buren that he didn't see. My honest opinion, I think he was already checked out. The Rebels then go on to play in the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl and beat Duke 52-20. So, wraps up a 10-win season, which has kind of become the norm in the Lane Kiffin era at Ole Miss. Didn't start out the best. Now that he's got his players kind of figured out the portal, now here we go. All right, let's take a look now at the 2025 schedule, and we'll talk about kind of who's coming back and what to expect. They open up Saturday night against Georgia State. Now, I don't give Georgia State much chance to win this game, but Georgia State's one of those teams, like last year, that you know, kind of surprised some people, you know, and you know, I can't really explain that. I watched, I guess it was a Vanderbilt game, I think, when Georgia State beat Vandy. Let me look here real quick. I think that's correct. I think it was Georgia. I think Georgia State beat Vandy in Atlanta. I think that's right. But yeah, Georgia State last year was 3-9, but they had some flashes. Yeah, they did beat Vanderbilt. And I thought I remembered that correctly. But they were competitive in most of these games. But they just won't have the horses, right? But I wouldn't be surprised if you look up at the half and maybe the game is not going maybe the way you expected. Week two, we talked about Ole Miss in recent years has kind of had all their non-conference stuff up front. Not this year. Week two, the Rebels travel to Lexington, Kentucky. And it's so weird to go up there. You know it as well as I do. It's just a weird deal. Everybody deals with it. It's like going to the Bermuda Triangle. It's a place where offenses kind of go to kind of just suffer. So that'll be an interesting game. I don't think Kentucky's going to be great, but I do expect that'll be a game where Stoops and company will come up with a way to make it a weird game and really stress the Ole Miss offense. They just got to avoid the big play. The next week, Arkansas comes in. So two SEC games the first 3 weeks of the year. Now, we don't expect a lot from Arkansas, but this will be a real test for that Ole Miss offensive line against our defensive line, pardon me, against Sam Pittman's kind of power running game, kind of a throwback in many respects. But just like last year, there's no way that Arkansas can win a shootout with Ole Miss. Tulane, and I do think that has the possibility to be a very interesting game. Of the non-conference games, that's the one you kind of look at and say, well, that's one that may be interesting. You remember a couple years ago, Tulane made it a game and then didn't have their starting quarterback. Well, if they're healthy this go-around, even though that game's in Oxford, you know, John Summerall, of course, the coach there, has done some good things. They went 9-5 last year. You know, 9-5. They lose to Kansas State by 7. Then they go on the road to Oklahoma. They get beat by 15 there. But they're not going to be intimidated to come into that environment. They're just not. So don't think for 1 second that they're just going to show up and go through the motions and say, "This we'll take our check and go." Summerall's trying to kind of put his fingerprints on that program. And again, they won 9 games last year. Then LSU comes in. And so that's an interesting stretch, too. We talk about, you know, Ole Miss not having the all the non-conference games up front. Guys, they're going to play all these games in a row. So the first five games come back to back to back to back to back. They get LSU in Oxford. And I think LSU is going to be pretty good. I don't think they're going to contend for the conference tournament title. But I do think they're a team that, that could be an intriguing matchup. And, you know, they'll be jacked in Oxford, trying to go win, whatever that piece of ceramic some kid put together. They call it a trophy. But nevertheless, that's a tough stretch. When you begin thinking about that, three SEC games in your first 5 weeks, and all five of those games come back to back to back. They get the open date. They welcome Washington State to town. That should be a win. Then you got to go to Georgia. And you better believe Kirby and those guys are going to be up to play that game after last year. Then you got to go to Norman, Oklahoma. The schedule really doesn't lay out well for them. I mean, honest to goodness. Back-to-back road games without the open date. You get, again, the Washington State game, it's a Power 5-4 program, but they're not going to have the horses either. They'll throw it around a good bit. It'll be a test for that secondary. And then you get Georgia and Oklahoma, which will be very physical teams. And then you get South Carolina coming in. Very athletic quarterback there, too. First team, all SEC. Then you get the Citadel. And then you get Florida. And then you get your open date before the battle for the Golden Egg. And so, again, I think the layout of this schedule is maybe not necessarily conducive for success. A lot of people are saying that Ole Miss probably 8-4 this year. I think that's probably fair. But in years past, they've gotten some real breaks in the schedule. I don't think that's the case this year. I may see it differently as we go week to week. But if they drop a couple of games early, don't be surprised. You get breaking a new quarterback, right? A lot to that. Let's go back and kind of look at last year's numbers a little bit. Just because of the fact that, there's just a lot of things, a lot of moving pieces to this. And again, they've done a great job in the portal. Maybe not so much last year, but still a good portal class. But, of course, they were kind of all in to win last year. Went out, got Walter and Owen, all those guys. I think that's an important aspect of this, too. How do you rebound? Because we always talk about how the portal sometimes is just not sustainable. If you're portal heavy year after year after year after year, you kind of begin to ask yourself, how's this going to play out for us? And at some point, it catches up with you. But, Jackson Dart, obviously, first-round draft pick by the Giants, huge year last year, 4,279 yards. Guys, Ole Miss threw for 4,561 yards last year. So all but 282 passing yards are out the door with Dart. And you'd expect that. Right? Incumbent starter comes in and really did a good job protecting the football last year, 29 touchdowns against 6. But, Austin Simmons played a little bit, attempted 32 passes. And you go out and you get some depth, but it's clear Austin Simmons is the guy. And, of course, there's some people out there already advocating for him to win the Heisman. That's not fair to him. The running game will be awfully interesting because there's not a lot of pieces back. So we'll see how that kind of plays out. And, of course, Trey Harris was banged up a lot last year. Still had a 1,000-yard season. And then missed some time, with a very significant injury. Caden Lee is a guy that's back there, excited about him. 57 grabs last year, which was second on the team. We'll see how it all kind of plays out. But, I think the bigger losses really are on defense. Obviously, you got to replace a quarterback. Kind of got to rebuild the running back room. But when you think about how good that Ole Miss defensive front was last year, even if you're a Bulldog, you have to kind of admit that the missing ingredient has always been their inability to stop the run. And then last year, they had the ability to stop the run. They did it against us, and against a lot of people. There was a stretch there. They led the nation in rush defense. And so now you begin to kind of think about reconstructing that aspect of this program. We'll see how it kind of shakes loose. But it's going to be a different team. And I don't think they win 10 games this year. And that even includes the bowl game. I just think that's asking a bit much, with a sophomore quarterback kind of breaking in a first-time starter. They lost a lot. Over a dozen starters on both sides of the line. It's going to be very interesting. Again, they went and spent a lot of time in the portal with the wide receiver room, so it's probably going to take a little while to kind of get guys on the same page. Caden Lee is a guy, obviously, that is explosive, and they'll find a way to get him in some advantageous matchups. That offensive line lost four starters. There's just a lot to figure out. And as bad as all his losses are, I think this defense is one of those things that, you know, you got Get Perkins back, you know, and you feel really good about that. That group last year did a great job getting to the quarterback. But what happens to Get Perkins this year without the benefit of that very experienced and talented defensive front? Remember William Eccles, a guy that we wanted to play offensive line. He wanted to play on defense. We didn't think he was a D lineman. He'll have an opportunity to play a lot this year. Going to be very young up front. They are. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Secondary's got to be rebuilt. You know, Trey Amos is gone. Brandon Turnage, a guy that maybe never lived up to his billing. I mean, that base. There's a lot of players missing on defense, too. And again, there's some guys back at backer and some guys from the two deep, but it's not going to be a group you look at and say, you know what, this defense is going to be comparable to last year. So there are going to be some teams that are going to be able to sustain some drives and stay on the field that I think will make a big difference. And again, everybody's been kind of waiting for the air to come out of the Lane Kiffin balloon. I'm not saying that it's going to be a losing year, but I think most Ole Miss people will kind of appreciate the fact that you're not going to win 10 games every year. You want to. It's just really not going to be the case. And but again, I think they're a solid bowl team. You know, depending on how the league kind of runs out this year, you know, we'll see what happens with all that aspect of it. I think it's one of those things where you have to kind of also understand, too, that they always have a tendency to lose a game that they shouldn't. That's kind of been the book on that Lane Kiffin experience, too. You get some interesting wins, but at times you lose some games you shouldn't. And I think everybody involved would say losing that game to Kentucky was at home especially. And the trip to Florida, it's tough to go to the Swamp and win. But the reality of that is that Ole Miss was probably the more talented team and just couldn't pull it off. Yeah, we'll see how that works out with Florida coming in this year. Lagway, of course, is a guy that you know, a lot of people are excited about. We'll see what happens with the Gator offense. But just kind of watching this Florida team going on the road, I don't know. And Oxford, whether you want to admit it or not, when they're winning, that's a tough place to play. It is. They get out and support them. They do. I know Lane Kiffin kind of chastised the fans early in his career about that sort of thing, but they will get out and support him. But I think it's one of those deals, too, where there's just a lot of toss-up games on the schedule. And you got to wonder, if they stumble out of the gate, how people will respond. I like him getting Arkansas. I just don't think it's a good matchup for Arkansas. Going to Kentucky's weird. Oklahoma, you got to go there, you know. So, I mean, you can pick out, you know, four games. I mean, you feel pretty confident they're going to lose in Athens and probably at Oklahoma. It'll be interesting to see what this team looks like when they get to Mississippi State for the Egg Bowl. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town. And you should. We always say it, we don't get together enough, and then we never make any plans. Well, you make the plans. Check availability with the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, then go check with everybody and say, hey, we're doing this. Would this weekend or this week be most convenient for you? Don't take no for an answer. You're not getting any younger. Neither are your parents. And if anything we've learned here in the last few weeks, you never know when you're going to have your last chance to get together. Don't take it for granted. It's true. You have a great time at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We did the full-service kitchen there, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area. It's so great. 6 bedrooms, 3 baths. 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus in the old renovated clubhouse on the old country club out past the Highlands. Very easy to get to, very conveniently located, plenty of parking out there. You're going to have a blast. Stop putting it off. Be the linchpin in your friend or family group and make the plans. Check availability. You see, you know, I've heard Steve talk about this so many times, I hadn't checked it out. Check it out today. Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Their Facebook page comes up. You can peruse through the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests. Booking options pop up too. If you want to go through Airbnb or VRBO, you certainly can. However, if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR, the number 10, to get 10% off your stay. What could be better than that? I can tell you from experience, it's a great place to stay. You'll be glad you did. And it'll be a weekend you can always go back and talk about. Or maybe it's a weekday, a week. I don't know what you want to do. It's up to you. But you'll look back on that and say, you know, I'm so glad we made the effort to get together. Life sometimes kind of moves along a little bit quicker than we expect. You end up leading an accidental life and you say, you know what? I never got around to doing this. Get it done. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, we've got a few random things before we get out of here. How about Connor Pilkington? Connor Pilkington gets called up by the Nationals, and then lo and behold, Pilk with the dub tonight. How about that? Six up, six down, gets three strikeouts, and the pitcher of record in the 6-1 win over the Cincinnati Reds. Very excited for Pilk, too. And guys, he has stayed after it, man. He has absolutely stayed after it. There's a lot of that out there, man. There's a lot of these guys who just have some stick-to-itiveness to them, and Pilk is one of those guys. Remember, he was part of that. He was the Sunday starter on that SEC championship game in 2016 as a freshman. Eventually became our Friday night guy and has spent some time in the majors before, but it's always good to see Pilk back. And Pilk's actually dating the daughter of a friend of mine. So super cool in that respect, too. And, of course, there's some new stuff out about the soft cap and how collectives are going to factor in NIL. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, don't get too caught up in all that stuff. I've got people texting me, and I said, listen, you still have to go through the GO system. There's a lot of people out there, too, that are on bad reporting. It's kind of coming back to bite them, right? And so let it all play out. You know, I get aggravated with this stuff, too. Because I'm like, okay, we got our new system. Everybody needs to get on board with this. Everything's going to be great. And then all of a sudden, well, we're worried about litigation here, so we got to do that. Guys, it's just like this whole thing. Like we go back to the first segment of the show, the whole Larry Gillard stuff, right? We agreed to play by the NCAA's rules. We didn't. We took it to court, and we paid the price. And maybe that's why nobody pays the price anymore, because what was done to us. But the reality of this is it changes every day. Eventually, we'll get it all settled, and there's always going to be lawsuits. I mean, NCAA gets sued once a week at least. You know, that's an important aspect of this thing to remember. A lot of the stuff gets settled in courthouses, but it's crazy to think that we sold to everybody on this new system and then didn't fully get away from the old system. So now basically you put all these universities on the hook for $20.5 million, and you're still going to have some collective stuff. And listen, the way that it was rolled out to us is the collective's going to kind of handle the third-party deals. It won't be like a slush fund type thing. So you got to figure they'll have to find a way to regulate that. That was what they wanted to get away from, was kind of pay for play. And everybody had to kind of pony up there. But this is an evolving process. And as Greg Sankey said at SEC Media Days, we're in the middle of this, and it always is a little messy until then. So we'll see what happens. But here's what I do know. In about a week, Mississippi State's going to be on the practice field. And we're going to be one step closer to college football being back. In just over 5 weeks, Mississippi State is going to be playing a game against Southern Miss. In 6 weeks, we're going to be at Davis-Wade Stadium. Part of that game will be at night. We'll be able to enjoy the LED lights that so many of us have wanted for some time. There is a lot to be excited about. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and give you code of conduct of what you should expect from this football season. I'm just going to take it week by week. That's my attitude, right? I think we win game one. And then we'll see what happens in game two. But it's going to be the home opener. We only get a handful of opportunities to gather as a family at Davis-Wade Stadium. The fewest opportunities on the sports calendar involve football. That's why so many of you come, right? You know, you get, you know, a ton of basketball and baseball games, so you feel like, hey, if I miss it this week, I can get it next week. 7 home games this year, guys. That's it. Is that right? Is it 7 or 6? 6. Yeah, we're playing Southern Miss on the road. Yeah, and so, anyway, regardless of the math on that, you only get a half dozen or so opportunities to come to Davis-Wade Stadium and cheer on your Bulldogs and ring your cowbell. And we encourage you to come out and do that. Reminder, too, single-game tickets are on sale. The Flex Pack is on sale. Maybe you couldn't make that commitment to be a season ticket holder, and that's okay. You can still get tickets, good tickets, to see the Bulldogs, and they're going to sell season tickets all the way up, too. So if maybe you've delayed doing that, you can still get it done. And, again, I think it's just so important to experience life, right? Because some people are like, man, I'm just so aggravated and so frustrated. Here's what I know. Mississippi State's going to be playing a sporting event. You know, when I was a kid, there was nothing greater than being able to go watch Mississippi State play. It was the highlight. Sometimes we'd get to go once a year. We'd get to take in one football game. Maybe it was in Jackson. That was it. We got one, maybe two games a year. And then as I got a little bit older and started paying my own way, I went a little more often. Now I get paid to do it. But I can tell you, for your kids and even for yourself, you love being here. You love seeing Mississippi State win. And you want to be here for the next big win. I can't make any promises to you on how this season's going to go. But I know this. I know that the Mississippi State family has historically stood up and supported our Bulldogs. Got a golden opportunity early in this year to kind of set the tone for the rest of the year. But I'm not going to go into football season with feelings of dread. I'm also not going to talk myself in a corner where I'm saying, hey, I think we're a bowl team. I think we can be. But before we get to any of that, we got to go win week one. And so that's going to be our focus. And again, here in about a week, we're going to be talking about practice. Not in the Allen Iverson way, but in the Mississippi State way. I don't know how you – listen, we're not going to get a lot of practice access. It's going to be like it was last year. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think they should give us more access. I think when you're trying to build some momentum, you probably need to increase the observation periods and maybe give you an opportunity to get a little more – get some video out there, things of that nature. You know, I think we need to have a little more coverage, but hey, those aren't my decisions. But whatever they do give us, we'll be grateful that we have, and we'll do our best to report it for you as quickly as we can over at jeanspage.com. Be sure and come check us out. Got some big things coming up with Jeans Page too. If you haven't done so, go to dirtynoblebook.com, and you can get signed copies of all of my sports titles, plus the book When the Bottom Falls. Come float with us at True Rest Float Spa Starkville. Call 662-268-7601 for more information or to schedule. Or you can download the app or book online. It's completely up to you. And again, as you begin to think about football weekends, our client base has increased dramatically over last football season. And last football season, there was a lot, you know, as you can imagine, spots went fairly quickly. Well, you need to have a sense of urgency this year because of the fact the business has grown. Our summer business this year is 10 times what it was last year. Like even today, I can barely get my wife on the phone. As a matter of fact, I text her, just give me a thumbs up that you're good, okay? That's really all I need sometimes. But the reality of it is we do have a thriving business. And so if you're planning to float when you come to town, you need to plan ahead. And book your spot to come float. And we'd love to see you and meet you and come by and be a part of our float family at True Rest Float Spa Starkville. Let's get out of here. Hey, guys, don't get spoiled with me recording these shows the night before. But this week, that's how it's going to be. Again, Thursday night, I will record your Friday show. And then we'll see how things go from there. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends and enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.